This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
Since we have equal numbers of you in this space and in this space, I don't actually know where to look while I'm preaching tonight. But I'm going to try it right here. Hopefully this will work okay. Long ago, back in the 90s, we lived on some acreage in McKinney, and we had the perfect arrangement. We had a beautiful five-stall horse barn, and we had a friend who needed a place to keep horses. And if you've got to make a trade, you either own the horses or the barn. You want to own the barn. It's much cheaper. So we had a friend who had horses on our property, and because of that friendship, we were able to ride the horses when we liked. And we invited some friends from Dallas to come up, and they had a 14-year-old son, and he wanted to ride, and so we saddled up the horses, and I was getting ready, and I asked him, have you had any experience on horses? And he said, oh, I've ridden horses a lot. I'm really good at riding horses. Now, I've been a youth director before this. I should have known better than to trust a 14-year-old boy. But I believed him, and I let him get on the horse, and I handed him the reins, and no sooner had I let go of the reins than it became very clear he had never been on a horse. So he begins immediately kind of panicking and sawing the reins on the horse, and the horse got jittery and started to gallop and then run, and then he let go of the reins, held onto the saddle horn, and screamed at the top of his lungs. I did what you did. I thought this was funny, and he was getting what he deserved. I laughed at first as the horse made one lap around the pasture, tried to get in front of the horse. The horse would have none of it, not laughing anymore, and the horse raked him off on a bodart tree, and then as he fell to the ground, the horse's hoof hit him right in the side of the head. He falls to the ground, and he's completely unconscious. My RN wife and I and the boy's parents rush to the boy and try to assess what's going on. He's unconscious. Chris knows what to do. And so we get the phone. We call 911. An ambulance arrives. And he's kind of waking up, but he's still fragile. And so they decide the best thing for him to do is for have him care flighted to the emergency room because they felt like he had a head injury. So we wait, the helicopter comes dropping down into our pasture, and I watch them load my dearest friend's 14-year-old son into a helicopter. His father got into the helicopter with him, and his mom and my wife and I stand and watch as we watch this helicopter take this boy to the hospital. We stood there watching that helicopter go. I was sure that out of my negligence, I had killed my friend's kid. That feeling. So hold on to that for a second. And I know I can't go any further than the sermon unless you know what happens to the boy. So let me tell you that. And then we're coming back to that feeling, okay? He was fine. Turns out, he had a panic attack on the back of this horse. And it scared him so bad that he passed out, and that the horse in the side of his head was a flesh wound. And he was 100% fine. Okay, so now I can move on with the sermon? All right. Nathan is fine. The main lesson there is don't ever trust a 14-year-old boy, right? Now, back to this, that feeling, the disciples standing with Jesus, In the version that we heard, so we've heard two versions of this ascension text, right? We heard the Acts version and we heard Luke. If you remember your studies, Luke is the end. This is the end of the gospel according to Luke. It's the beginning of the book of Acts, written ostensibly by the same author, right? But Acts has us standing with the disciples as Jesus is ascending into heaven, and he said to them, I go and I will send a spirit to be with you. But all they know is he's going. They don't know. They know what was. They know Jesus. They know what it was like to be with Jesus. And now he is leaving. And they have no idea what's coming next. They are very clear about what was and not clear at all about what is to come. So they stand there. I don't think that was a good feeling. I think that was a terrifying feeling to know that he's gone and no idea what's coming next. Just imagine their fear and their anxiety about that. So I just want to invite you for a minute to think about your own life. When has that been true for you? Or maybe it's true now for you. When you were very clear about what something was, and that thing that was is no longer, and you want to believe and you want to trust that God is in the world and that God is doing something, but you have no idea what the next thing is. What's coming? What does that feel like? I just want you to reflect on that and just rest in that feeling. That anxious uncertainty. So that's the Acts version. But if we turn our attention to the gospel lesson, it's very different. Jesus is much more polished and he's much more preachy. And he says that these things are going to happen. And I want you to go into Jerusalem and wait for the coming of the Spirit. And then it says he was taken up. And he is away. We don't have the disciples gaping into heaven. We don't have the disciples needing to be interrupted by men in white and saying, what are you looking at? Instead, we have the disciples filled with joy. And instead, they go into Jerusalem, they go to the temple, and they could be found in the temple praising God day and night. That's a very different experience, isn't it? It's a very different feeling. So I want you to think about that place in your life, or those places in your life where you are so deeply grateful for what has been before. And you're not sure what's coming, but it's clear that it's good and beautiful and exciting. And so that anxious anticipation turns into excited anticipation. The Feast of the Ascension lands on Thursday, and then we're going to have a Sunday between now and the Feast of Pentecost when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. So we have 10 days where I think the church is inviting us to rest right there in that place. That anxious anticipation, the grief at the loss of what was, and the uncertainty about the thing that is to come. And also the excited anticipation, the gratefulness for the thing that was, and the excitement about what is to come. And to rest right there. We have 10 days to reflect on this, to reflect on those things in your life that fit in one of those categories, the things in the life of the church that fit in those categories. And for goodness sakes, if human beings have ever lived in an in-between time about what was and what is to come, now is it. Just think about all the things happening in the world. So I invite you over the next 10 days to reflect on this. Do some journaling if you would like. Reflect on the places in your life, in the world, in the life of our church, where we are anxious, where we knew what was but don't know what is coming, and when we're hopeful, when we're grateful for what was, and thrilled about what is coming. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.